We're reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nations and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when divided the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdened them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
I'm going to read the Bible again.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory of your people Israel.
Well, good evening, everyone. Happy Christmas. Doesn't sound like you're convinced it's Christmas yet. I'm Kathy. Steve.
I'm Steve, yeah.
We, for those who may be visiting, we are some of the pastoral team here. It is so, so good to have you here. Have you noticed how Christmas is so often marked by music? You know, it's that mental association that we do. What we would love you to do is turn to someone near you, and kids, you can do this as well. We'd love you to share, what is your favourite Christmas song? All right, it could be carol, it could be some other song. What is your favourite Christmas song?
All right, give you about a minute and we'll ask you. I'm interested in knowing, what are your favourite Christmas songs? Who's got a favourite Christmas song? Put your hand up and I'll kind of point in your direction. Yes, what's your favourite Christmas song? Jingle Bells. Excellent. Sleigh Ride. Sleigh Ride? Ooh, right. I don't know that one. Was there one over here somewhere? No. Okay, quiet. Sorry.
The First Noel.
The First Noel. Yeah, what about over this side? Yeah. The Best Christmas Song in the World. Is that the best Christmas song in the world? That's what it's called.
Makes sense.
These are all Swedish answers I'm getting here. What do we got? Denise? Sorry? Mistletoes. Another one. There we go. Other Christmas songs, are they all carols? What have we got, Richard? Yeah, Oh Holy Night. Who would agree with that one? Oh, a few of you.
How to Make Gravy.
How to Make Gravy. That was going to be mine. I'm a Paul Kelly fan as well. I love the line. Sorry, this is a thing, right? Like, my family, it would be 100 degrees and they would still make a roast dinner. There's a line, and I just, every time they sing that, it's like, that's what Christmas is. I don't know anything about snow, but I do know about hot meals on a 100 degree day. So yeah, it's good. What else we got? Silent Night. Is that Counting on Christmas? Excellent. All right. So there's a lot of, okay. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Okay, we're getting some good answers. I just want to say I'm very happy no one said Wham's last Christmas, okay? Apparently number one in the UK, but I just want to put it out there. That is not a song about Christmas. That is a guy who 1 year later is still upset about a breakup and can't get over it. So. Yours is actually the same as mine when it comes to Christmas songs.
I was going to say All I Want for Christmas is You, but not really.
And you know what? That is so not true. If I said that to her on Christmas Day, I would be in the bad books. And I wouldn't get away with it.
No. More seriously, mine is actually the same as many of you. Oh Holy Night is definitely by far and away my favourite Christmas carol. And one of the things I consistently find, it's the carol that just so often moves me to tears when we sing it. I think the lyrics paint a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ, whose coming fulfilled all that God's people had been longing and hoping for centuries. And I don't know if you noticed, just for those who know O Holy Night, just when we read Isaiah just a few moments ago, just how much that carol mimics or takes from those words in Isaiah 9.
Yeah, it is beautiful the way it captures it. The thing that I find amazing as well, though, is that when it was written in the mid-1800s and it was banned in a number of places. If you know the words, you may guess what words got it banned. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. It was written by an anti-slave activist. They would sing it in the north. They refused to sing it in the south. And in parts, the Catholic Church banned it completely. So, interesting, because it does. It captures Isaiah chapter 9 so beautifully.
Absolutely.
I love the imagery. Just tapping back into Isaiah 9, where Isaiah writes, "On those living in darkness, a light has dawned." Like Isaiah is writing to a people who are being oppressed, who live under fear of their enemies. But there comes a time, says this prophecy, when the dawn will break, the darkness will go away, the dawn will break, light will come, and the yoke, the rod that is across their shoulders will be broken. We should be tapping through these as we go. Part of the other imagery was that the garments that were used for war would be burnt. They wouldn't be needed anymore. They would just be destroyed. Have we got it? And then these beautiful words, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever."
You know, if you've ever been moved by the words of O Holy Night, it's probably because the words echo this promise in Isaiah 9, as it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And he was the child that Isaiah had spoken of, God himself. Jesus established a new kingdom, and it was different from any other earthly kingdom, any other earthly nation. God's kingdom was marked by true justice, by peace, and by God's righteousness. And you know, as we read in Luke's account just before, when he wrote the account of Jesus' birth, he recorded Mary and Joseph going to the temple to present Jesus, as was their custom. And on the same day that they go to the temple, Simeon is also, Luke describes him as being righteous and devoted to God. And we're told that he's moved by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple. But see, prior to this, God had revealed to Simeon that he would not die before he saw the promised Messiah, the one who had been spoken of in Isaiah 9. Simeon had this personal promise that he himself would see him with his own eyes. And so on this particular day, Simeon is prompted by the Spirit to go to the temple, and he turns up. And as soon as he sets eyes on the baby Jesus, he knew this is the one that God had promised. This was the coming Messiah. This is the one that his people had been hoping for, longing for, the one who would break oppression. And can you imagine the joy that would be in him as he takes this child in his arms, as he looks into the eyes of this baby, knowing that this is the one who would bring righteousness and peace and joy to their nation.
Well, Simeon knows what he sees when he looks at this child, and he knows to be true, is that in this child, Jesus, the Messiah has come, the promised King has come. The breaking of the dawn has taken place for those who lived in darkness. When Simeon looks at this child, Jesus, he knows that the Messiah has come and has come with the hope of a kingdom that is marked by justice and righteousness and peace. And so when Simeon takes this child, looks at him, he knows, he understands that in this child that he holds, Jesus, the Messiah has come. And he's filled with joy because the Messiah has come bringing joy. The weary world rejoices. Now you tell me, is our world not weary now? You tell me, does our world still not long need justice and righteousness and peace? We do. Is not our world still looking for something? Someone who they can place their hope and their trust in. You see, our world is weary. We are weary of war. We are weary of injustice. We are weary of selfish, egotistical, and brutal leaders. We are weary of greed. We're weary of conflicted relationships. We're weary of feeling that what I do doesn't matter, that everything is futile. And we're weary. Sometimes we're just weary of the relentless pace of life and what that does to us.
And yet, into this weary world, Jesus Christ came. And for those who recognized him, like Simeon and Anna and the shepherds, they were filled with great rejoicing that the promised one had come. And likewise, for those who recognize him now, that same rejoicing continues even in the midst of our weary world. You do know that it's possible to rejoice in the midst of weariness. We know that, don't we? It's like a marathon runner. One of my nephews took up marathon running just this year. And this is him just like 5 weeks ago at the end of an 80-kilometre ultramarathon. Good on you, Mick. He's definitely weary, but filled with joy.
Yeah. It's like a surgeon who operates for hours and hours on their patient. And at the end, there's a weariness, there's a tiredness that's there, but there's also this sense of joy. A joy of what they've been able to do for their patient.
Or it can be like firefighters, you know, when they give their all and finally the blaze is extinguished. One of my brothers is he was part of the RFS for years and years, and sometimes he'd go out and he'd fight for days on end, like just fires. And finally, when they would be extinguished, he would just be so, so shot, like so weary. And yet so filled with joy, just rejoicing that it's over.
Yeah. Or it's even like a mother given birth to her first child. At the end of it, is she weary? You tell me. I'm a guy. I'm getting some nods. But is she joyful? Yeah. You see, in our weariness, there are times when we also find the joy. And there is joy in that weariness because we know that something significant has happened.
At Christmas, we celebrate that God has come to us in the person of Jesus Christ. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Prince of Peace. And he is the one who says to each and every one of us, "Come to me,
all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
In our weariness, when we find Christ, when we find Jesus the Messiah, we find joy and we find strength in the hope and the peace that he brings. We find joy in knowing that in Jesus Christ, God has come near. That whatever life brings, God is present and God is with us. That whatever this Christmas holds, or whatever the new year will bring, that we will not do it alone, because God is near to each one of us.
We can rejoice in knowing that we belong to God. You know, Jesus became the way that we can know God. And not just know of him, but come into a genuine relationship with him. John said to all who believed in Jesus Christ that they were given the right to be called children of God. And it's not like we earn our place in God's family by being good enough, but rather it was the gift that has been given to us. This place in God's family is a gift that Jesus gave us when he died on the cross for our forgiveness. God invites each and every person to join his family, to sit at his table. It's where we belong.
Yeah, and we get to rejoice also because we come to know that life is not futile. It's not meaningless. We find that the decisions that we make, the choices that we make, the things that we do, they actually have significance. They matter. We discover that my life is not meaningless, that each one of us is created by God to love him and to love those around us. You see, my life and your life counts. It counts for a lot. And every act of love and grace and generosity and kindness that you make, that I make, it makes a difference. And it counts in this life. You see, you and I can be a bringer of love and grace and generosity to those around us. And by doing so, we sow into this kingdom that Jesus Christ has brought.
And so this Christmas and into the coming year, we can rejoice in a weary world because Christ is our hope and he is the one who brings true peace. Would you join with us in prayer? Father, we do rejoice today for the promises that are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We want to give thanks because of your love for the world, that every person in it, you came to us in the person of Jesus, the promised King and Saviour of all. Father, we remember today the Prince of Peace born into a world of violence, the Lord of Lords born in vulnerability and humility. In him your kingdom has come, and we wait with eager longing for your kingdom to be revealed in all its glory. Lord, we've had enough of violence. We pray for its end in Gaza and in the Ukraine and in every corner of the world. Would you bring peace? And for those who suffer violence and persecution simply because they go by the name of Christ, we pray for them and we pray with them that they would know your strength and your comfort and your presence.
And Father, we rejoice this day for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We give thanks that you invite us into your family and you seat us at your table through what Jesus Christ accomplished for us at the cross. And so we wait with eager longing for that time when there will be no more sadness, no more tears, when sickness and death will no longer have a place. We pray today for those who feel the absence of those they love. We pray that they would find comfort in your love and your presence. And Father, we rejoice this day for the strength we find in Jesus Christ. For the light has indeed come into the world, and the darkness will not overcome it. And so we sing our songs of praise in a world that often does not listen. We choose to rejoice among people often overwhelmed with despair. And we choose to follow you, Jesus Christ, our light, toward you, Father, knowing that you are rich in mercy and strong to save. Father, we rejoice in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.